I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This is the Games High School's football scoreboard show.
Friday night, Under the Lights. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain. And Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today at markspain.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Taking it back.
Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again.
It's school days on the High School Scoreboard Show. Sam and Coach check in with the legend of Georgia high school football. Brought to you by Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best. On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Into the 9 o'clock hour here on the Scoreboard Show on this Friday night. Sam Crenshaw along with Chris Parker here in our Midtown Atlanta studios. And, well, we got a good one tonight. I think because usually we always get running backs or quarterbacks or, you know.
Yeah, none of that junk tonight.
Nope.
We're talking about offensive line.
Yes. Yeah.
We're talking about all-pro offensive line.
Yeah, how about.
We're talking about Super Bowl winners.
Yeah.
We're talking about SEC champions.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about any of that. What are we going to talk about?
We're going to talk about Chamblee High School.
Chamblee High School.
Friday nights in DeKalb County. And this man loved it.
Who we got?
All right, we got, man, of course, you talk about the Super Bowl rings with the 49ers. We're going to talk about Auburn. Steve Wallace, phenomenal, and from Chamblee High School, and he joins us now on the Scoreboard Show to talk about his school days. Steve Wallace, welcome to the Scoreboard Show. You got Sam and Chris.
Thank you, Sam and Chris. I'm excited. Anything that's dealing with Georgia football at high school, it's always exciting. Chamblee High just, you know, was a wonderful experience. They didn't win before I got there, and I'm just excited to say that during my regular season years, we were 28-2. And so
he's not wrong. I'm looking at it. Yeah, so 1-9, 2-8, and 4-6 before you got there, and yeah, really good. So what comes to mind when you first think about your time at Chamblee High School?
I got it. It was just a wonderful experience. A lot of great coaches. We had a guy named French Johnson, a guy, Chip Kale was an All-American at Tennessee, Jim Cagle from the University of Georgia. Those guys were great teachers. They did a great job. Coach Eddie Raines used to always ask, do you love it every single day out at practice? And you had to show him that you did love it. And it was just a wonderful experience.
Man, Friday nights. Okay, now who is the rival? Because I think of where Chamblee's located and a number of schools that are around that way. Some that are, I know, Peachtree was close by. Dunwood was up the way. You know, so you had some schools that are kind of close by you.
Sam,
right?
You're calling them all out. I mean, Peachtree. We always struggle with that school. We didn't play Dunwoody in the varsity at the varsity level, but we played them at, you know, the younger ages. One that I didn't like was Marist. We had to play Marist. Ooh. And I just went to a game a week ago with Marist and St. Pius standing on St. Pius' sideline. But to show you my level of appreciation for Marist, my son went there.
Right. Hey, what do you think about Coach Chadwick? He's been an awful long time.
You know what? Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
He's awesome. I have a great deal of respect for him, a great deal of appreciation for him. I mean, whenever I call, he's there to answer. Last week I said, hey, Coach, I want to say hello to you before the game. And he made his way, you know, to make sure that we had a, you know, quick little hello before the game and just to show that level of respect. And then as well, you know, a guy, Sean McVay, very excited for him because I watched him back during his days. He would run to the backside and take it to the house. He ran about a 4.5 40. So he was quite the player.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people don't know Sean McVay won the state player of the year over Calvin Johnson.
Yeah. And now he's out there, a coach, well, I mean, won a Super Bowl and everything. Who was it that you played? Yeah. We would talk about the talent from the Georgia, and we always talk about every year when the draft comes along, how many guys who played their high school ball in Georgia get drafted. But it's always been that way. You had some guys even from this area who on the team with you with the 49ers, right?
That's right. Harris Barton was a tremendous player. And, you know, something I loved about him and his family, like his mom, it doesn't matter if I would run into her anywhere in Atlanta, Buckhead, whatever. She worked for one of the banks here over there in Dunwoody. And it was just a tremendous, like, family-oriented type situation to see them at all the games, the father as well. And to play with Harris Barton, think about it. You have two guys from DeKalb County at the same time to play 10 years together, and one on the blind side and one on the front side, and it was just a tremendous experience.
Man, I knew that, but I didn't know that. You know, didn't put all that together. Right down the road from each other, same age. Pretty cool.
Yeah,
pretty cool. Pretty good team. Pretty decent teams in the NFL with those guys too.
Yeah, pretty decent.
Yeah.
You had him. You had Carlton Williamson, who went from the city of Atlanta from Brown High School, was a teammate out
there. That's right. Carlton, I watched him in high school. And what's really neat when you get an opportunity to play with a guy like Carlton Williamson, him, Ronnie Lott, Eric Wright, and Dwight Hicks, the guys that turned it around for the San Francisco 49ers. They had to play the Dallas Cowgirls or some team in Dallas. I don't know who it is.
Oh, dear.
But they turned it around for the 49ers and helped us win. And then they just passed on the leadership to us young guys like myself and Harris. And we did a lot of – hey, Sam and Chris, only thing I know is winning. All my years of experience, played with a guy named Vincent Jackson. Most people know him as Bo Jackson. And so all of those years of playing, all I know is winning, 21 years. Hopefully one day the Atlanta Falcons may ask the guy to say, hey – come in and help us find a few athletes or something like that. So, all
they
I know,
should. They should. Yeah. Chris, I got to say this. Chris is a Bo Jackson fan, but he's an Alabama grad now. We got an Alabama grad on the show.
Yeah, so Steve did crush my spirits as a young man. He's a little bit older than me, and he helped push Bo over the top. And did crush my spirits as a kid. I have since forgiven him because I respect his play.
Damn, did you hear that? That's Chris, man. He's into it. Like, all over the
top. Crushed me.
Let me tell you guys, there was a 17-year-old kid out of Shamley, Georgia, on the bottom, and he got his butt kicked for three quarters. And the coaches asked me, why'd you come here? Chris, I'm sorry to say this, but I came there to beat Alabama. You
yes,
know,
sir.
I was supposed to go to Georgia and block for Herschel. But, you know, Auburn hadn't beaten Alabama for 9 years. And I thought I could help in that process and help turn the history around. And we did that day.
It is really cool to have that experience with that time at Auburn, where Auburn really was great and they were building – obviously with the Niners, with Shamley. Let me ask you this. I normally don't ask questions about college or NFL stuff, but I want to ask you this. What have you seen as like a common theme with – you had a lot of good coaches. You played with a lot of good players. What's a common theme for teams that are good? Because you have been on a bunch of good teams.
It's the details. The details and fundamentals to everything, because when you have to face a guy like Lawrence Taylor, you can't miss a step. And, you know, you study this guy over and over and over until you find my own little secret of why I stopped him, why I played well against him, is because I kept my feet so low to the ground. If my feet raised higher than 6 inches, he's so fast and active in his pass rush that he would literally go around me. And then all of the great coaches, the details, just like we would come out and we would see the New York Giants and Bill Belichick and Bill Parcells in a different defense, and then they schemed us in a way. And I'm thinking, Lawrence Taylor, I'm supposed to face you on third down. And they had him outside on me on first down. And I'm thinking, man, please switch this defense. But, you know, all of those great coaches had a lot of good things as far as their fundamentals and details.
I'm going to ask you something about because, you know, they got a 17-year-old over at Alabama right now that everybody's raving about.
Ooh.
the receiver over there, Ryan Williams. Well, you talk about at 17. What was that like for you to be that age?
In the trenches.
Yeah,
now,
right.
I respect Ryan Williams, yeah. But it's harder playing offensive line
early.
You know,
you're doing grown man stuff at 17, man. So talk about how did you prepare for that?
You know, I had a great interview on Saturdays in the South, and it talked about, you know, 17 years old, just like Williams over there, you don't even have grown men muscles, and you're facing all these All-Americans from the University of Alabama, and the only thing you could think about is that you just have to find a way to continue to compete. And then halfway through the game, I thought to myself, I'm not as good as this guy. I'm not fast. So I have to hit him at different angles where I anticipate him to be. And the next thing I know, Big Bo Jackson was coming down the sideline, and some great things were happening for Auburn University.
Wow.
Fantastic. Hey, about that process, though, about your high school time, what advice do you have for the guys, totally different era now, right, for recruiting, but everybody wants to go to Auburn. They want to go to Alabama. They want to go to Georgia.
Yeah.
They want to do what you did. So what advice do you have for guys that want to do that?
Well, it's just follow your dream. And like you guys said, those schools, I got a great friend of mine that I played with, Stacy Searles, is one of the best offensive linemen or coaches. But I don't want to give him that credit because I want our guys to come with Hugh Freeze and Auburn University. But that Stacy is a bad – I'm going to let you guys finish that second word. Yeah. And then, you know, the University of Alabama, they've been winning for a long time. They set the standards, and Nick Saban and that group. And so, if nothing else, I just have a tremendous amount of respect for the guys that I played against over all the years with the University of Alabama. And the neat thing I'll say about it, we changed a lot of lives when we worked together and played a lot of golf tournaments and did a lot of charitable things. So, you know, we're at odds for 5 years, but we changed a lot of lives a long time after that.
Yep. DeKalb County, there's talent all around this county. There was then and there is now. Just talk about this area that you know so very well. And while times have changed, recruiting processes have changed, and rivalries may have changed a bit, but the talent still remains. Talk about that a little bit.
Man, I mean, I think about the years that I was in San Francisco, like schools like Southwest DeKalb, other schools like Columbia High School, Coach Ray Bonner over there. They made a tremendous impact on a lot of these young kids around here. And like I said before, you know, the technique and fundamentals, like going back to Jim Cagle and Eddie Raines and what they taught us, that's everything. And these guys, I'm happy to see that, you know, the legacy, the tradition has continued to go forward, and then that they are playing well in DeKalb County, and I hope it continues.
No, this is the second one of DeKalb County's all-time greats as a lineman. We had Jeff Saturday on here several weeks ago. Talking about his time over at Shamrock and how they play on Friday nights.
You know what stands out to me in these moments is how now, and you may hear this, Steve, but now it's pretty common for the NFL teams or even the college teams to kind of brag about how many of them are from Georgia. They take a lot of pride in their Georgia home state, wherever they play. A lot of people don't realize we already had these guys, man. This didn't just start.
Can I say give a tremendous thanks to Arthur Blank out there. Met him, coached against his kid over at Chestnut Park over there for 6 years, coached and helped out those kids over there. And what he's done as far as giving kids and inspiring kids to be on that wall at the Georgia Dome. I mean, when I go there and friends, you know, go visit, they'll send me pictures, and that is, like, tremendous. I mean, it's just a blessing that you're being recognized like that. And it was so thoughtful of the Atlanta Falcons to put all of these kids in the state of Georgia, all the kids in DeKalb County that played in the pros on the wall at the Georgia Dome.
It's awesome. And they play. I mean, you got Harris Barton, Steve Wallace. These are the tackles protecting Joe Montana, Steve Young. Like, we've been had good players. This is not new, having all these good players from Georgia, man. We've had them.
Yeah.
And I'm excited that we're getting the opportunities, like you said, with Coach Blank, with Arthur Blank and our Hall of Fame. Sam and I are on that committee to put as many people as we can to highlight what they're doing, man. That's awesome.
Well, this man is in Alabama.
Absolutely.
Alabama Sports
Chris
Hall of Fame.
Chris and Sam, you guys have been tremendous, and I mean, every week, you know, I can't catch you guys all the time, you know, but at the same time, I mean, what you guys do, you do a whole lot, and just and a lot of respect giving back to you guys.
You too, my man, you too. Look, this man blocked for Bo Jackson, Joe Montana, you know, coached again, was on the other side with Bear Bryant.
Yeah.
Was on the side with Bill Walsh.
Yep.
You ever think, like, man, what a great time, what a great football life you had, Steve.
You know, can you imagine? I want a lot of kids to think about this type of example. In an example, is that you go from Bo to Joe and then playing with Bo Jackson and being the best run blocker in America. And then you go to San Francisco, and the first thing you hear is, why did the 49ers waste a draft pick on this guy? And the only thing he knows how to do is run block. And so if you go back and spend the time watching the films and bettering yourself is with the technique and, there again, fundamentals, then I became and I'm not bragging, but I'm just saying, when so many people say that you're not going to be a good pass protector and to become one of the all-time greats and also known as the original blindside tackle,
yes, sir,
because I protected Joe Montana's blindside. And when he can't see back there, he had to have a level of comfort to throw the ball down the field to Jerry Rice.
Yeah, yep, and you had to do that. And Coach Walsh saying that singled you out. That had to be remarkable to have your coach who accomplished so much single you out as a man that made that difference. That has to be incredible.
You know, for him to do that, and then I'll take it back to in an embarrassing moment when he embarrassed two guys. And he said, if you guys could work on these fundamentals, and one time on the backside, I didn't block the guy like I should have, and Tom Raffman could have had like a 70-yard touchdown run for us, but just because that left tackle didn't block that guy, and Bill Walsh embarrassed him in the meeting, and that left tackle was me. And then I didn't feel too bad. And here's a teaching spot for a lot of the young guys, is that Jerry Rice had a bad game. And so he called the other guy. He called out was Jerry Rice, and with that, he was like, "You caught the ball. You're 1 yard from the first down. Get the blank ball.
Yeah."
And Jerry played another 10 years. And every time I watched him catch the ball, if that first down marker was right there, he didn't do all that dodging, running back. He got that first down every single time. And if I was embarrassed and Jerry Rice was embarrassed at the same time, that's not a bad pair.
I'm telling you. Well, we appreciate you joining us tonight. School Days is always something that we enjoy, and we figure we have a great one tonight. You have shared so much with us tonight, Steve. We appreciate you, first of all, for all you've done and where you've represented our area and our state admirably at the professional level, and we thank you for coming and sharing some of your time with us tonight on the Scoreboard Show.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you guys, Sam and Chris. What you guys do, I have the utmost respect for you, and keep up the great work.
All right. That is Steve Wallace joining us tonight. For you, man, you know, talk about all the things this guy accomplished, huh?
No, I mean, that's what you start thinking about, those places. And Bill, you know, Coach Curry, who's a friend of ours, is kind of in the same way. Just kind of was, he was a great player and was also around so many great players and coaches, you know, and Steve was too. Just a great opportunity to get this started right here on Friday night playing in Georgia, just like so many guys are tonight.
Absolutely. All right, we got some coaches coming up we're going to visit with as we're in the 9 o'clock hour and get some updates from our reporters. You stay with us on the Scoreboard Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 92.9thegame.com.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Keeping it local.
This is the High School Football Scoreboard Show.
Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain, and Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today at markspain.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Radio 99 The Game at 99thegame.com. High School Scoreboard Show. Sam and Chris with you. Nine floors up in our Midtown Atlanta studios. Dom Chorowski getting things done on the other side of the glass for us. Glad you're with us on this Friday night. Coach, you got a score or two you want to give us before we get our update here from Garrett?
Let's see. We've got, I'm struggling on my machine here, Sam. I apologize.
That's all right.
It looks like I was trying to find Richmond Hill is up 35-14.
Whoa.
And we thought it was going to be 21-14. Yeah. I was trying to find that one. Now it's getting back 35-14. I mean, people are going wild.
Yeah.
At Richmond Hill right now.
They're going to try to hold Valdosta off. That would be a first loss of the season.
Big, big win, and it would be a big region win for them if they can pull that one off. Cedartown and Cartersville will go to the half 7-7.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. That's with that particular one. All right. We got some updates. Let's start first of all with Day Day.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game's Friday Night High School Scoreboard Show. This is Eric Slaughter, and I'm checking in live from Denmark High School here in Forsyth County, where we have reached halftime, and the home Denmark Dames go into the locker room with a score of 19-0 over the visiting South Forsyth War Eagles. Dames quarterback Matthew Baer has found three different receivers for three touchdowns to get this 19-0 lead. But the real story of the first half has been the Dames defense. The Dames defense has been all over the opposing quarterback, sacking him four times and picking him off in the end zone on South Forsyth's best drive of the first half. If the War Eagles of South Forsyth have any chance of getting back into this game, they must learn to protect the quarterback and slow down this vaunted Danes pass rush. For now, with this 6A Region 6 contest, we are at the half. Once again, your score, Denmark 19, South Forsyth 0. Let's head back to the studio for Sam and Chris. This is Eric Slaughter for the High School Scoreboard Show.
All right, thanks a lot, Eric, for that update. The Danes and got things going their way down on their home field, and now that's Eric Slaughter. Now we get with Day Day Lewis and his update.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, High School Scoreboard Show with Sam Crenshaw, Coach Chris Parker, Damian Day Day Lewis live here in Fairburn. Landmark Christian School guys are heading into the fourth and final quarter, and it was a stalemate throughout the third quarter. Both teams just one possession, and obviously they both ate up a lot of time in those possessions. So we'll see what happens here in the fourth quarter, but it is still a 14-0 lead, Whitfield over Landmark Christian in this big region battle. For the High School Scoreboard Show with Sam Crenshaw and Coach Chris Parker, I'm Damian Day Day Lewis, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back to you guys.
All right, thanks a lot, Day Day, for that update. And I tell you, team that's already got the hay in the barn this week, they've already won their game. And that is Maynard Jackson. The Maynard Jackson Jaguars have an outstanding season, Chris. And their coach, Eric Williams, has been just, steady with that job there, working with that team, that program. And he joins us now on the Scoreboard Show. We want to welcome Coach Eric Williams into the Scoreboard Show with Sam and Chris. Coach, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight? Thanks for having me on.
Coach, congrats on your success so far this year, man. A great start.
Hey, I appreciate it, Chris. Yeah, you know, it's a constant grind.
Coach, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you this. You have been at the school since 2004. For those people that feels like the other day to me, Sam, because then I realized that was 21 years ago or 21 seasons ago. What is the key, Coach, for the longevity? I mean, really, honestly, ton of respect in this era to be at the same place for so long. What's the key to that success?
Well, you know, it's just like many of the educators tell us when you're teaching, it's all about adaptability and relatability. You know, you got to be able to adapt to the different situations that you go through from year in and year out, and you got to be able to relate to the people in your community as well as your football team.
Folks, spending time with Coach Eric Williams from Maynard Jackson High School. They got a win this week. Wednesday night they had to play against Midtown. Coach, I don't know how you feel like playing in the middle of the week. What was that like for you and your team and your preparation?
Oh, it was a short week. It kind of felt like I kind of see what the coaches go through in the MAC. They play on a Saturday and I would turn around and play on a Wednesday. Because, you know, you get a good practice in on Monday. Then you kind of do like a little walkthrough Tuesday. And then you have to turn around and play that game on Wednesday.
Fantastic. It is the MAC. It's the MAC week for a coach. Yep. Coach, you're 6-1 on the year. You guys have had a really good start so far. You got, you know, two tough teams coming up. What's got to improve with your team? What is something you got to work on?
We just got to cut down on our minimal mistakes that we make. Sometimes, you know, we got a young team, so, you know, we kind of get beside ourselves and kind of get caught up in the moment. If we just stay in the moment and stay composed and just play Maynard Jackson football, you know, we'll be okay.
Coach, I'm going to ask you something about, you know, because I know you had a lot of coaches may have been on your staff who are now coaching other places, or because you've been where you've been and for so long, I'm sure you get a lot of young people who want to get into the profession. What advice do you pass on to them?
Well, that's what the first thing I would tell them, you know, you got to be committed to what you're doing, and you got to be able to, like I said, adapt. And you also got to be able to relate. Those are the key. Mm-hmm. Those are the key characteristics that a young coach would need. You know, because you're gonna always have obstacles before you that you got to overcome on and off the field. And you got to be able to relate to the needs of your school community as well as your football program.
And that's everybody, Sam. We're talking about relating to the community, relating to parents, relating to players, relating to staff in the school administration. And all that is different kind of relating, you know what I mean? And that's why I'm so impressed with Coach. I'm so impressed that he's able to be at the same place 20 years and be effective. You know, it's just so hard to keep those same relationships going and growing and moving for long periods of time now. It just really is. Coach, you got your 100th win. I know you don't care about stuff like that, but I'm going to brag
on
you. But we do. I'm going to brag on you. 100th win. That's awesome, man.
Congratulations.
I really appreciate it. And I really didn't know up until like the week before I got a call from the AJC, and they was telling me I was nearing my 100th victory. And I was like, oh, wow. You know, because I've always just been focused on trying to keep the program moving in the right direction.
Well, they're fortunate to have you, Coach. I guarantee you that. I tell anybody to listen that. I've really been impressed with what you guys do and just the longevity, the consistency. What is the expectation for Maynard Jackson football? You said we're going to play Maynard Jackson football. Tell anybody listening what that means.
Well, when you talk about Maynard Jackson football, you're talking about a team that's going to be – we're going to be competitive, you know, and we're going to be disciplined. You know, and that's with these kids nowadays, you know, they want to be kind of out there. Everybody's on social media, and they want to do everything with all these different camera guys and all that stuff. And that's why we have to be able to, you know, adapt and relate.
Yeah,
yeah.
And you do have to relate.
You're
going to
keep the kids in your program. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of just listen to, like, the college coaches, and I listen to Nick Saban a lot back when he was coaching. Even now, whenever he speaks and talks about his program and how he had to adapt with the music being played at the college, you know, doing practice and things of that nature. You just got to be able to open up and let kids see you in a different light and let you know that you care about them. And then, you know, they'll play, they'll play hard for you.
Absolutely. But I got to ask Coach, do you let them have the two-mile pieces, Coach? Because I've been ranting all night about the people with the multiple mouthpieces. What is that, my man? We did not do that. What is that? I couldn't even get them to keep one mouthpiece.
Right. No, we do not allow them to have you know, that is crazy. Yeah. But let me tell you, now, on the way to a game, you know, we're only 3 miles from our home stadium, which is Henderson Stadium. So on the way to the game, I mean, these kids lose mouthpieces like.
Oh yeah. Somebody steals them, don't they, Coach? I went a whole rant. Yeah. Somebody has stolen a lot of stuff over the years, haven't they? They always come in and say, "Coach, somebody stole my cleats." Like then they just came. Doesn't they, Coach? Tell them.
My knee pads were the number one thing.
Knee pads. Yeah.
Now it's a mouthpiece.
Somebody is hoarding a lot of stuff.
Wow.
I'm just, Coach. That made my night. I appreciate you confirming that.
Coach Eric Williams, we appreciate you spending some time. Congratulations on getting that 100th win and on what your team has done so far this season. And good luck the rest of the way with you guys.
Okay, guys. Thank you all for having me on.
All right, that is Coach Eric Williams from Maynard Jackson High School. He knows who has those things.
Yeah, listen, this is one of the best guys in the city, I'm telling you.
Yep.
Hey, Coach, yeah, really great guy.
All right. You know what? We got another coach coming up in the next segment. We're going to have an update. We're going to hear from Captain America, and we're going to check in with the coach from out of Cherokee Bluff. They are still
undefeated.
That's coming up.
Undefeated.
You stay with us. It's Friday night. You listen to the Scoreboard Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
To more of the High School Football Scoreboard Show.
Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain, and Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today at markspain.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. It is the High School Scoreboard Show on this Friday night. So glad you're with us, spending some of your Friday night with us. And we got different people we're checking in with from around the metro area. There's a game happening down in Fayette County. We want to check in with Chris Dunn from Fayette County News. He has an update for us. Chris, how you doing? Welcome to the Scoreboard Show.
Thanks for having me. We got a really good game going on down here. Dan Creek is leading Whitewater 28-21 as we take down to 5 minutes left. Whitewater is giving them all they can handle. Real exciting game going.
My goodness, who's doing some things with Sandy Creek? And I don't know, what were you expecting from this game?
Well, on paper, Sandy Creek definitely was a big favorite. This is by far the closest game they've played this year, but they are without Amari Latimer and Dalen Pinson. And Whitewater's got a freshman quarterback, Case Roberts, who's playing a really good game tonight. And like I said, they're just giving them everything they can handle.
Freshman, pretty impressive. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty nice arm. He hit a 54-yard pass to set up one of the scores. So they're going to be a problem down the stretch, too, I think.
How much time's left?
We're ticking down to about 4 minutes left. Sandy Creek is getting some momentum going down, burning some clock. Maybe trying to put the game away here, but it's been a fun one.
Absolutely. Four-minute offense, son. That's what they're in. That's what that's called. You got the ball in the lead. Four-minute offense. Taking the time.
It's Chris Dunn. You want to follow him in Fayette County News. Always a lot of great things that he's following down that area. Keeps an eye on things for us. You follow him at Fayette News. Social. He is social. You can find him there. Chris, always great catching up with you. Thanks so much for the update.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that is Chris Dunn down in Fayette County. Yeah, surprise.
Yeah.
Surprise. Sandy Creek.
We always say this on here, and I don't know if you listen all the time, you might get tired of me saying it, but to be a good football team, you got to win so many different ways. If you're Sandy Creek, you want to win the state championship. You're going to win when it's hot. You're going to win when it's cold. You're going to win when somebody's hurt and not playing.
Right.
The ball didn't bounce your way, and the ref made a bad call. Like, you got to win in all those kind of scenarios, and it's not going to be easy. There's going to be things that happen throughout the season, and sometimes people just expect everything to be like a bunch of robots. We supposed to win. We go out there and just dominate. It doesn't work like that.
Not so.
You got to win in all different environments. And so sometimes the best wins of the year are those. So if they can grind this thing out, not give them the ball back, and win on 4-minute offense, could really help them for later in the playoffs.
All right. Next up, we talk about a team that's done that all season long. They did nothing but win. They have not had a blemish on their record. We're talking about the Bears of Cherokee Bluff. Their coach, Tommy Jones, joins us now. Coach Jones, welcome to the Scoreboard Show with Sam and Chris. Congratulations on the season you had so far.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Always great to talk to y'all.
Coach, 8-0. I know you don't want to talk about it, but that's pretty good. You can't do much better than that.
Yeah, Chris, you've coached long enough to know that you definitely don't want to jinx it. So, just trying to be where our feet are and trying to worry about today. And, got a bunch of great kids that are playing really hard, that are really connected, that love each other, care about each other. So it's one of those special groups, and just really proud of what they've been able to accomplish this year.
Yeah, the longer you coach, Sam, the more you realize that these results are actually just a byproduct of all the other things, and it's the other things that mattered. And that's what Coach is saying. He's right. But unfortunately, we're in a world where people like to have a record. They want to attach that record. So it is nice when it goes your way. Big win over Oconee, big region win. Everybody knows they're a great program. So what was the kind of a difference in the game last night, or what was the key for you guys getting that win?
Yeah, we talk a lot during the week about, like you said, Oconee County has just an excellent football program. Got a ton of respect for Coach Hall, for their staff, and for what they do there. We talked about a lot of what you were just mentioning earlier, that the things weren't going to be easy, that it was going to be, a 12-round slugfest, that sometimes a 3- and 4-yard run is just as good in a game like that, as a 10- or 12-yard run in some of the previous games that we've had. And talk to kids a lot about not being discouraged when they don't see the results immediately, but to just keep hammering away all night long and don't look at the scoreboard, just play every play and kind of let the results fall where they may.
Spending time talking with Coach Tommy Jones, that you guys won this game last night. Thoughts about getting this done early week? I mean, because of some of the weather, people have been playing practically every night the last 2 or 3 weeks. You guys on a Thursday night, but I guess you don't mind. You got the win.
Yeah. If you know much about Oconee County in the Athens area, particularly when they have a big away game, Georgia traveling to Texas, I think the thought process from the people over there was that if they wanted to have, good attendance last, that they'd be much better off playing that game on a Thursday, being the only show in town, and a great big crowd there in Watkinsville last night.
Coach, you got Jefferson still in your region. They're playing them next. We didn't let you breathe long enough to know that your next game's a big one. I'm in the media now. You notice that, Coach?
You see how he laughs about that, right?
Yeah. What has to – so Jefferson and East Hall both. It doesn't matter who you're playing. The rest of the way, you're 8-0. Everybody thinks you're amazing. You won every game. But you know there's things to improve on. So what has to be better for you guys to be where you want to be in mid-November?
Yeah, I mean, those are, that's exactly the challenge that you have as a coach. You want to be peaking at the right time and continuing to get better. And I don't know if there's a secret to doing that outside of just, try to create some intensity in practice, some live best-on-best situations to make sure that your sword is sharp, throughout the season. You just want to make sure that your guys are continually challenged, that you coach them in week 10 exactly like you're coaching them in July when you're getting started. That's hard to do because, as you well know, that the season can be a grind.
Mm-hmm.
Even coaches at times, we start to get a little comfortable and we have to continue to push ourselves out of that comfort zone. To make sure that we're pushing our kids, demanding the best out of them, and making sure that we get where we want to get when it's time to be there.
I think it's the hardest thing about winning. The hardest thing about winning over and over is it's easy to just drop your intensity slightly. I mean, a coach, a player, everybody, you just kind of get a little more comfortable. Hey, we won, and it's just so hard to maintain that success. I want to brag on Coach for a minute before we leave.
Okay,
him go.
All right.
He's the only coach Cherokee Bluff's ever had.
Only one.
Okay. And they start out, and Coach, he's done some great things at some other places, but he comes to Cherokee Bluff. They're playing all young kids. They're not going to win a game this first year. This is not – they don't even have a chance because they got, like, ninth graders.
Right.
And they built it into a team that's winning 10, 11 games. Now he's in a conversation with Jefferson and Oconee County. What level of pride, Coach, does it give you in that scenario? You're the only guy they've ever had. You've really seen it go from ninth grade only, you know, people putting the shoulder pads on backwards or something, to now being in the conversation with Oconee County, Jefferson, and teams like that. What kind of pride does that give you?
Yeah, it's crazy. It really is. I mean, the stories that you could tell from year one, you know, and I'm fortunate to have just some really good friends of mine in this coaching profession that were able to start programs, guys like Shannon Jarvis that did it at Mill Creek and Andy Dyer that did it at Archer. You know, guys are some of my best friends in the world. And when they talked about their programs, when they were at those places, there was just a level of pride just because, you know, they had invested so much in getting it off the ground. And until you do that, you don't really know quite, you know, the investment that it takes. And it becomes a part of who you are. It really does. It becomes a part of your DNA. And the cool thing about our situation in Cherokee Bluff is, you know, for the first 3 or 4 years, our middle school was actually in the same building where we were. So these kids that are seniors now were sixth graders when Cherokee Bluff opened 7 years ago. So, you know, my wife teaches at the middle school. My daughter actually teaches at our middle school right now. You know, so we've known all these kids since they were sixth and seventh grade and been able to watch them grow and mature and, you know, and go through hard times and break up with girlfriends and you name it, yeah. You know, to see them dance and celebrate after a big win on a Friday night. I mean, you know, those are things really epic. I mean, they're things that you wouldn't change for the world.
Yep. Their record at 8-0, the Cherokee Bluff Bears. Coach Tommy Jones, always great to catch up with you. Great to hear your voice. Congrats on your season so far, and let's see how you carry it forward. But thanks for joining us here on the Scoreboard Show.
Yeah, good luck, Coach.
Hey, thank you guys so much. Y'all have a great night.
All right, that is Coach Tommy Jones doing great things up there at Cherokee Bluff. The things I love about up there, you know, the colors are purple.
Yeah.
Even the tennis courts are purple.
Even
the tennis courts are purple. I'd never seen purple tennis courts.
How about that?
Before until I went to Cherokee.
We're green at Pickens. We got green courts.
Green courts. Okay. Well, they
does that count?
We green. We got green courts. We green. They got purple tennis courts.
Purple tennis courts.
Never seen that before.
You know what I caught on to that, though, Coach? So we talk about in coaching, one of the most important things you do to build your whole program is you got to get involved with a middle school program.
How
you got to
get that? Down
there. Coach sent the wife and the daughter down there.
He's going to make sure.
He is not playing around. He sent the family down there to spy on them. They're not playing around. They get the middle school kids involved.
Right.
He sent his best people down there.
And they're doing an excellent job.
Absolutely.
Great to hear from Coach Jones. All right, we got an update from Garrett. Do we have time for that? Garrett Chapman has an update from his game and a very special guest.
Sports Radio 92.9, the game in the High School Scoreboard Show. Garrett Chapman up here. Blessed Trinity coming just out of halftime, 13-0. Still the home team on top. And I'm joined by J.D. Bertrand, Atlanta Falcons linebacker. Just had his number retired. Unbelievable career here at Blessed Trinity. And then go on to the college ranks. And now you're playing for the Atlanta Falcons. Big weekend for you. You've got Blessed Trinity with your number retired, and then you got Notre Dame tomorrow in the bins, and you're back in the bins on Sunday. It's all the kind of like the holy trinity of your football career, right? What's all this like?
It's so surreal, and it's so full circle. It's such a experience, such an unbelievable experience, just to have my old high school coach here, and then see him going against Notre Dame tomorrow, and then being able to just see these guys and be like, okay, this is where I once was, and then be welcomed with such open arms. Like, it really is such an experience, and I mean, I couldn't be more excited and just happy to be out here.
And JD, you won 2 state championships. I mean, you had an illustrious, should have been, some three. People could say it should have been 3. But look, you guys had a fantastic run. You look back at your high school memories and playing. So this is for the High School Scoreboard Show, right? So thinking back to high school memories, what stands out to you? I mean, outside of just the 2 state championships.
Yeah, I think losing this freshman state championship game, that was the farthest the school had ever gone. Mm-hmm. And so just that was an accomplishment. And then playing Cartersville, basically a death sentence in college football, and with Trevor Lawrence and being huge underdogs, ended up winning that game and winning state that year. And then my senior year, just being able to close it out with almost a fairy tale ending and go 15-0 and win state championship. Like, it really was the high school career that you dream of, and I was lucky to be able to experience it.
Yeah, and you also had the honor, I guess you could say, of McFarland was one of the top coaches in high school, like this in this state's history. You play for him, and then you go up and play Notre Dame and everything else like that. You have all these stops along the way. It's just a very special path, right?
Most definitely. It is special, and I was lucky, and I've been lucky to stay in touch with Coach McFarland and then go on to Notre Dame, like you said. Like, it's just an unbelievable experience, and just, I mean, I'm Catholic, and the Catholic thing is a part of me, and so go from a high school that's Catholic to a college that's Catholic and be able to represent the school and both schools as well as I can.
Yeah, and McFarland's coaching against your alma mater on Saturday. Who is the edge in that one? What are you thinking?
I was asked a score prediction earlier, and so I threw out 35-10.
Okay.
I think our defense is really solid. Hopefully we can get that offense going early and get the run game going early so we can take a couple shots over the top.
And then the game on Sunday, what are you thinking?
Game on Sunday, I mean, every game in the NFL, it's a one-score game and it's a close game. And so they're obviously a really good opponent. They run a little bit more of a college style of offense. And so luckily for me, like coming from college, it's kind of a little bit more familiar with me. But we'll be ready. I mean, we have a really good team and a lot of really good players, and we're excited to be able to go against the Seahawks.
It's been a fun run for you guys. I've enjoyed covering you guys, and I'm sure we're going to do it all season long. 100%. J.D. Bergeron of the Blessed Trinity Titans, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, and now the Atlanta Falcons. Sam and Chris, back to you.
That Garrett, I tell you, he finds them. He does, doesn't he? He just hobnobs with the stars. That's what he does. Fantastic. All right, folks, through the 9 o'clock hour, folks, we had it for the 10 o'clock hour. Some of these games are going to turn final in the next hour. Coming up, the top of the hour, our Cub is going to rejoin. Our Cub is ready to rejoin us, and we're going to check in down on the south side, a game down with North Clayton. That is coming up when you stay with us into the 10 o'clock hour on the Scoreboard Show on this Friday night. On Sports Radio 99 The Game and 99thegame.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.